attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast. Tune into The Drive 3 until 6 p.m. weekdays on the Sports Hub.
I love it. It's brilliant.
I swore I'd never be the white guy reading rap lyrics on the radio. However, it's just too easy today. My favorite Jay-Z rap lyric is from the song Diamonds from Sierra Leone. He said, quote, "I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man." Man, was that uncomfortable. And while that is uncomfortable, not nearly as awkward as that image was yesterday. That press conference, I was standing inside Kickback Jack's after getting off the air yesterday. Saw the image on NFL Network of Jay-Z sitting right next to Roger Goodell. It's the purest example of late. The image speaking a lot louder than anything that came out of the commissioner's mouth and the man that founded Roc Nation. The partnership of the last few days that has drawn a lot of scrutiny. There's been a lot of backlash towards Jay-Z, and the man that's been furthering most of that backlash is Eric Reed, who continues to spout off on Twitter criticizing Jay-Z and the partnership altogether, the intentions of it. He said, quote, "Jay-Z doesn't need the NFL's help to address social injustices. It was a money move for him and his music business. The NFL gets to hide behind his black face to try and cover up blackballing Colin, hashtag neocolonialism." Almost verbatim what he said about Malcolm Jenkins last year with the Players Coalition. Just listen to what Jay-Z has told us for a long time. He isn't a social activist. He's a businessman. This helps Jay-Z's music business. It helps his talent agency with Roc Nation. But while it is helpful, whatever was agreed to here, it's not nearly as important for this deal to get done for Jay-Z as it was the NFL. The social injustice piece of this was the sticking point, I bet, for the National Football League. The reason this gets done is because they have that at the end. If it was just entertainment, it's a no-brainer for Jay-Z. Okay, you're a part of helping pick acts like the Super Bowl and trying to revamp things through art. But the social injustice part had to be there in order for the NFL to get exactly what it wanted. Guilt-free access to black entertainers and culture. A black face to take the blame if something should go wrong with what Jay-Z's pushing forth. A guy to take charge so the owners aren't the ones facing this any longer. And lastly, this buries Colin Kaepernick. In the NFL scope, they don't have to worry about that anymore. They've settled with Kaepernick and Reed. And now that they have Jay-Z, who already has a lot of credibility in that community that Colin Kaepernick is well represented in or has a lot of backing in, they now don't have to worry about Kaepernick at all anymore, which is why, according to the reporting by Jamel Hill for The Atlantic, there are people in Kaepernick's camp who aren't happy. Kaepernick isn't happy. Apparently, Jay-Z spoke to Colin on Monday. That conversation, according to reports, did not go well. And you could see why. But Jamel asked a fundamental question that I think speaks to the intentions of the NFL that I think we all know the answer to, but it's still worth asking. Is there any chance this partnership is reached in 2019 if Colin Kaepernick never knelt before a football game? Does this ever happen if not for Kaepernick? The way that it is here, will the NFL partner with Jay-Z in the name of social injustice in addition to the entertainment aspects if Kaepernick 3 years ago yesterday didn't start kneeling, blackballed for the last two seasons in the NFL? Your thoughts are welcome on Twitter at 336-777-1600, or that's the phone number. We are on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad. Yes, Dev?
Excuse me.
I think the NFL has been after Jay-Z for a hot minute. So I can't say that, yes, this would have happened in 2019, regardless if Kaepernick had existed or knelt or anything like that. The entertainment side of it, yeah, I think the NFL has been wanting to do something with Jay-Z in some sort of capacity for quite a while. And they're looking at it like you said, this is a win-win for us. It covers a bunch of different bases, some things we had in mind 5-6 years ago, some things that popped up a couple years ago. They're on the social end. So on that notion, yeah, I would think that this is something the NFL has craved for a while, and maybe Jay stayed away from it for a while until the moment was right for him, or
it's
the moment
just
was right
not
for the
a
money,
good look.
You know?
I'll continue furthering it that the optics are terrible for Jay-Z when he's the one out here criticizing the NFL and also wearing a Kaepernick jersey on Saturday Night Live and even having a song where he said, quote, "What?" Once again, white guy reading rap lyrics. "Once I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me. I don't need you. Every night we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we in stadiums too." End quote. Now you cut a deal.
Do we know what Jay is getting compensation-wise
no
on
idea.
This deal?
That's not going to come out.
Yeah, so that's. I would imagine Jay's
whatever,
not doing this for peanuts.
Whatever it is, though, it's not worth the credibility hit here for Jay-Z. I don't think it is. Jay-Z's well off. Jay-Z's fine. Jay-Z is already making hand over fist what he's doing with Roc Nation and with his music. Jay-Z's fine. This credibility hit, I'm not going to go as far to call him a sellout. I'm not going to go as far to dismiss his entire track record, because that's something that's done that I think is completely irresponsible. We only react to the latest thing. Even if this partnership dismisses in NFL circles Colin Kaepernick, like I think it does, it buries him a little bit here, that doesn't take away the other stuff Jay-Z did. So I'm not wanting to say that this singular thing is what's going to define Jay-Z, but there's no question that this hurts his credibility in the name of social justice. It just does. If you're partnering with the NFL and you're doing so without any support from Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick in doing so.
Okay, let me ask you this question then. When Kanye was doing the Kanye stuff 7-8 months back and kind of pledging allegiance to President Trump and things of that sort, I know you're a huge Kanye West fan.
Love Kanye West.
Did it change your view of Kanye West's
no.
music or anything fandom-wise
no.
towards Kanye?
No, because I don't care about that. And I don't care really that much about Jay-Z, whether or not he supported Colin or didn't. I didn't care because I always viewed Jay-Z as a capitalist first, as a business person, someone who was great at business. I view him the way I view LeBron in basketball.
That's a good comparison.
He is business before anything else. His business is basketball, just like Jay-Z's business is music and now representing people. This move furthered his music business. It furthered Roc Nation. That's what it's all about. But I know to a lot of people, they think these musicians, Kanye, Jay-Z, heck, even LeBron in basketball, represent something a lot more. I'm not one of those people. I view them as entrepreneurs, as business people. I'm not looking for any moral arbitration, any type of moral guidance based on these entertainers and rappers. But I might be in the minority of that.
I mean, I do think it's, I understand both sides of it. And I kind of lean more towards the notion of trusting Jay-Z. Like, I believe the man knows what he's doing. So I assume it's more of a wait and see for me with that, because everything he's done
that's
in the past
fine.
30 years has worked out in his favor.
That's fine. But that image yesterday of Jay-Z sitting next to Roger Goodell answering those questions, not good.
It was not a good
look. Especially when Colin Kaepernick reportedly did not approve of this partnership whatsoever. Dave Chappelle is in the news today. Did you see this? On August the 26th, he's going to have a stand-up special air on Netflix. It's
yes.
his. It's not his third one, is it?
Yeah, it's the third. He had two that came out
He had two at the same time, 18, yeah. But I thought multiple ones came out at once. So I guess it's the third leg of this. I don't know how many specials.
There was two that came out at the same time when he first signed the Netflix deal, and then, those have been on Netflix. This would be the newest one, the third one. I think he signed a four show deal.
Well, he did a second series of ones. Anyway, it's a new Dave Chappelle stand-up act, and it's just crazy to me. In 2019... Dave Chappelle is still seen as the top stand-up comic around. He's the one that's the most revered of everybody, and he's still as dangerous, ambitious, and sharp as ever. He's the most ambitious. That's the word that everybody uses with him. I'm concerned about comedy altogether. There are comedians that refuse to go on college campuses because of safe spaces and offending people, saying things that might offend somebody. If you are a person that gets offended by a comic, shame on you. Come on. What are you doing? I roll my eyes anytime I hear someone get offended by a comic. That's kind of the point. If you go to a stand-up show and you get offended, you probably shouldn't have been at a stand-up show in the first place. You are not the intended audience. You're not in on the joke. You don't know what's supposed to be happening here. Anthony Jeselnik's one of my favorite comics. Saw him in Los Angeles a few times. He's fantastic, but his shtick, I guess, is just being unafraid and saying the meanest possible thing you can. Sometimes it's vulgar, sometimes it's incredibly dark, but that's comedy at points. I used to say that Louis C.K. was the guy, but 2 years ago with the headline of him and some of the weird, crazy strange stuff he was involved in and into, that didn't really jive with a lot of people. He kind of got put away. I don't know if he got canceled. He's probably going to make a return, if I had to guess. I don't think he's done yet, but he was the face of stand-up comedy for a 4 or 5 year stretch. Who's the next guy? Dave Chappelle can't be it for much longer. So who is the stand-up act of this generation that we're looking at? If I had to nominate one, I think it's John Mulaney. He's had these last two specials that were just killer, and he's selling out massive venues at pretty expensive prices. I tried to see him in Durham. It cost $120 for a cheap ticket. He's all over the place. So I think Mulaney's the guy, or maybe even Winston-Salem's own Jerrod Carmichael.
There you go. That's who I was going to nominate.
I love Jerrod Carmichael.
Yeah, he's great.
Except he did that HBO thing.
It's weird.
Going back home.
Yeah.
Home's Winston-Salem, but nowhere in the actual thing does he mention Winston-Salem.
And that doesn't look like Southside Winston either, because that's where he's from. He went to Glenn. So I don't know what neighborhood he moved his family to, but that's not. Yeah. I don't think that's where he grew up, where they showed that. So
it's supposed to be multiple parts.
I only saw one part.
There's been two?
Yeah, there's a second one.
I haven't seen the second one.
It's not titled the same, so you have to go on HBO and look for it. So it's not. I think the first one's called like Home Movies or something like that.
Home Movies, that's right.
The second one's called something else. I can't remember what it is, but it popped up on my featured tab on HBO, and I watched it. It's 30 minutes. It's the same type of thing.
I'm waiting for the part where Carmichael walks into Glenn High School, and we see that.
That would be cool.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
The Drive is brought to you in part by our friends at the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn. They sponsor this studio that we're sitting in right now. You can learn about the ways Tim Wellborn helps you online at timwellborn.com. You'll know when you need us. Coming up, 3 in-state college football teams flying under the radar right now. This is The Drive.
Ready whenever you are. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham. Now, the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920.
Thanks to all the listeners who came out to kick back Jackson Greensboro yesterday to say hello. I was trying to plan for today's show. We have a Throwback Thursday baseball segment that we do with Darren Vaught, who's going to be here in 15 minutes. So I asked one of our listeners, Brian was his name, what team should we do? He said the Chicago Cubs, so I said, bleep it. That's what we're going to do. And literally 15 minutes ago, I got a text message from a family member who's at Wrigley Field right now, touring the entire stadium. Incredibly jealous of that, and I was jealous of our next guest, who last week covering the Panthers preseason game in Chicago, had a chance to visit Wrigley Field as well. It's Jordan Rodrigue, back on the show, who you can follow at Jordan Rodrigue and read theathletic.com/Carolinas. Jordan, did Wrigley Field live up to the hype?
Yeah, it was a really, really great experience for me. That was obviously my first time there, and that was a bucket list item for me that I had always wanted to check off. And it was, you know, from the people, everyone was really kind. The game itself was really good in favor of the Cubs. They put up 10 runs on the A's. And it just was extremely neat for me to be able to see this place that I'd always heard all these stories about and seen on TV all the time. So that was a cool thing for me.
Every day during your coverage, during some of your colleagues' coverage at Panthers training camp at Spartanburg, we always read about Curtis Samuel and saw video. Every day he was doing something, but I'm naturally skeptical and cynical at times, wondering, okay, yeah, you're doing this against Panthers DBs, but then he does it against Bills DBs. Just how good has Curtis Samuel looked? What kind of player is he now?
Well, Joe Person, my colleague at The Athletic, and I, we wrote a piece today. It was basically a roundtable just dissecting everything we saw at training camp. And we talked about Curtis a lot. The thing that stuck out to me is, yeah, you know, sometimes when they're going against their own guys, it's hard to gauge exactly where this player is and how good he is and how good he's playing. Curtis being no exception, because these guys know each other so well. They know each other's tells. They know kind of how to compete against each other. But I had a Bills writer, a fellow actually Bills writer at The Athletic, Buffalo, who was standing next to me while we were watching, you know, team drills. Curtis Samuel went against Tre'Davious White, and Curtis had a really good catch against Trey, and he said that the Bills writer turned to me and said, literally no player has been able to do that to Trey all camp. Nobody's been able to do that to him until just now. Wow. And I was like, all right, well, that's a good parameter for me to know kind of what, you know, where he's at. And I think that when you can also have a guy who gets a very rare compliment from Norv Turner, those two things are extremely good signs for Curtis Samuel.
Eric Reed was tweeting again today in response to the Roc Nation NFL partnership with Jay-Z. And in response to a story, I think, from Jamel Hill at The Athletic, he said, quote, Jay-Z doesn't need the NFL's help to address social injustices. It was a money move for him and his music business. The NFL gets to hide behind his black face to try and cover up blackballing Colin. Hashtag neocolonialism. Doesn't this sound like almost verbatim the same argument he was making last year with Malcolm Jenkins and the Players Coalition?
Well, I think if you go through his timeline, if you go through Eric Reed's timeline today and over the last couple of days, I think you can learn a lot. People can learn a lot because he's summing it up very well. I think that the same types of things that he is saying in terms of subverting he and Colin Kaepernick's message, those are the same issues he has with Jay-Z and Roc Nation partnering with the NFL. So definitely, his timeline certainly lays that out, and I don't think he hesitates to make that same comparison himself, as a matter of fact, in talking about retweeting one of his good friends, who is an activist, public speaker, and PhD candidate, and he says that it does sound a lot like the Players Coalition and Malcolm Jenkins. And so Eric Reed, you know, has been very vocal about these things and about what he feels in terms of this message being subverted. And it comes on the heels, obviously, of the hypocrisy shown by Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. And Kenny Stills was very eloquent when he was speaking about that as well, in terms of the subversion of these messages, where you can't partner with a brand that's actively, you know, tried to silence players speaking out about social justice, especially Colin Kaepernick, and then go and pretend that you are on their side. So I think this is a good time for these athletes to have a platform like this, because we can really hear them, and you can cut through all the BS and all the noise that you see from, you know, clickbait and people curating articles and whatnot, and you can actually see specifically what they're saying and learn from them. And I think that's a good thing.
And the thing that I respect about what Eric Reed and Kenny Stills are saying, in this name-calling culture that we seem to live in right now, neither are calling Stephen Ross or Jay-Z names. They're criticizing, namely, the action, where Stephen Kenny Stills, he went out publicly and said, I'm not criticizing Stephen Ross for being friends with the president of the United States. I'm specifically talking about this business partnership and how how conflating it with different ideas and ideology versus here Eric Reed is not calling Jay-Z a sellout by any means or even a neocolonialist. He's specifically just pointing to this specific move being something that he objects to.
Yeah, well, I think that these two men, they're really great at speaking, you know, on this message and making sure it's effectively communicated. And the point being is that we have to listen. And that's literally just the point of all of it.
Jordan, tomorrow is preseason game number 2. It's the Buffalo Bills in town. Give me the number one thing you're looking to see.
Well, you know, because you know, I very much doubt that a lot of the starters get any, if very little, playing time tomorrow. I'm mostly looking at some of the same things that I was last week in terms of this backup running backs competition. Jordan Scarlett has kind of been working his way back to health. He had a back injury last week. He took this is so painful to even think about. He took a helmet to the small of his back during Fan Fest and was out for several days working through that. And so now he's kind of working back to being in game speed. And so now, since Elijah Holyfield and Reggie Bonifon certainly made up some strides in this competition that I would say Jordan Scarlett was leading for Christian McCaffrey's backup, and I think in addition to Cameron Artis Payne instead of competing with him, because I think they want to keep Cameron Artis Payne around. So now it's these three young guys who are battling for this job and to really try to work their way up the roster and really be a factor on this team. And so I think that seeing the carries that they get, those will be important. Seeing the pass reps that they get, those will be important. And also seeing how they put on special teams will be really important.
On Twitter.
And then I'm looking to see. Go ahead.
Oh, no. God, continue. I hate to interrupt.
Yeah. I'm also looking to see. Ron Rivera really wanted Will Greer to make his decisions faster and go through his reads faster. And so after, you know, last week where he had a pretty rough start. And so I think that's something else I'm looking at, because regardless of how close the two have been in camp, Kyle Allen and Will Greer have been in camp, the main thing is in the game, who is going to look the smoothest and who's going to make their decisions at an efficient rate and run the offense. And so I think that Kyle had the advantage there last week, and this week I'm curious to see how he steps up.
Just trying to get every drop from the lemon of insight from Jordan Rodrigue here of The Athletic. Carolina Panthers beat reporter on Twitter at Jordan Rodrigue, The Athletic. Carolinas, you can find her as well. Before we let you go, food and football, Jordan. Best thing you ate in Chicago?
Oh, I'm so excited. I actually thought about this today because I was really excited to tell you. I ate a authentic Chicago dog out of a food truck next to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Chicago, right on the edge of the lake, and it was cool. It was just the best experience. It was really awesome. No ketchup, only mustard, relish, onions, those little half-sliced tomatoes, and some pepperoncinis on top, and it was really, really good.
Do you judge people who only put ketchup on the hot dog?
No, I mean, I don't judge people for their food taste unless they don't season their food enough or something like that. But I definitely think that in that scenario, there were certainly Chicagoans around who would have judged, I think, for the ketchup on the hot dog. But this was just such a, you know, you check it off the bucket list kind of thing, having an authentic Chicago dog, you know, right next to Lake Michigan and seeing all these amazing things. We were like 30 feet away from the bean, and so it just was really cool.
Jordan, you're the best. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic, Carolinas. The Drive brought to you in part by our friends at Twin Peaks Restaurant, Haynesmont Boulevard. You can find them. It is your local sports lodge, Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. We're listing off Throwback Thursday Cubs. That is what we're doing. We're trying to figure out the Nickelbacks of the Chicago Cubs. Send those in on Twitter at SportsHubTriad. I didn't mean to over-enunciate there. The Chicago Cubs. Just like the Bears. At SportsHubTriad. We're listing off the Nickelbacks of the Cubs. next. Look at this photograph.
I love talking and conversing with you.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the Sports Hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
Sharon with Darren Vaught. He's on Twitter at Darren Vaught. Antonio Brown is at it again. The Raiders wide receiver currently is facing a civil lawsuit alleging that he stiffed a chef's bill of nearly $40,000 during Pro Bowl festivities last year. The chef, who is known as the Sports Chef in Florida, South Beach, filed the suit a few weeks ago, claiming that Brown's balance was $38,521.20 that remains unpaid. Apparently, he rented an Orlando mansion, hired the chef to prepare food for multiple days, put on a culinary show, have other services for 50 Pro Bowlers over that span, and it cost $39,000 there. But, Darren, you tell me what the most ridiculous thing Antonio Brown did this offseason is. Let me give you the running list. He made a complete mess of the Steelers' locker room, kept talking trash about his teammates to the point where he had to force a trade for Pittsburgh. I've never seen anybody do that successfully, make such a muck of things that they had to get rid of the player, even though he was the most talented player at his position than any other player on the roster.
But that's nowhere close to the top of the list.
No.
It might not make the top four.
Last week alone, in the last week, you have this chef story, capping a week where you have the cryotherapy stuff and his feet, which looked gross again. We got a lot of close-ups on that. Episode 2 of Hard Knocks on HBO. Then the helmet incident, him threatening not to return and play for the Raiders at all if he can't wear his old helmet. There were a lot of players displeased with these new helmet regulations, Tom Brady among them, but just dealing with it, never causing a complete gripe about it, never threatening not to play. He lost the grievance, then reported to camp on Tuesday. A few others. He had the Hollywood Hogan gold mustache when he was doing an interview.
Maybe the biggest cry for help.
I think it was Jeff Darlington from ESPN. Yeah, he had the gold mustache, which is never a good look. Has that ever worked?
Hogan.
See, this might be it. Hollywood Hogan it worked for, but ethnically, could that ever work, having the blonde mustache?
I was just trying to figure out, who is a black guy that I know that's been able to pull off a golden mustache?
Nobody.
Has Wesley Snipes done that before for a role?
I think I've seen people like dye their goatee, like the chin, but not the goatee. Like,
yeah, like
the
Cam
mustache.
Look. Cam.
Yeah, Cam did it last year. Yeah.
He also got in a hot air balloon in order to arrive into training camp at Napa Valley. And let's not forget, remember that pay service that was a huge thing for a week, Cameo, where you could pay random celebrities to say things for you? Antonio Brown, you could pay $500 to get him to say something and to say it poorly, just like this.
Happy 38th birthday. And I hear this is your second anniversary wedding. I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney, and your birthday is here. Happy birthday. We celebrate you today. Hope your birthday is booming.
Hope your birthday is booming. Your second anniversary
wedding. And I hear it's your second anniversary
wedding.
And he has a big smile on his face.
This doesn't stack up. It doesn't stack up because I understand if someone of his level of fame would want to do the cameo shout-outs thing to make an extra buck. But if he's doing that, why are you also, like, throwing... Didn't he throw a TV out of a window? I don't recall that.
Yeah, that's news.
Wasn't this, like, a year ago? He had this ordeal at an apartment?
We're keeping it to this off-season.
All right, okay.
Right, because... The winner, we know what the answer is.
AB's been crazy for a while,
Facebook
guys.
Facebook Living during the Steelers post game with a bunch of his naked teammates around and Mike Tomlin doing the post game speech.
Yeah, see,
that is the top of the list, but we're just limiting it to the last few months. Okay? There's a lot of crazy Antonio Brown doesn't qualify for. His haircut going into last year, that would be on the list too.
But yeah.
Just limiting the scope to this offseason, what's the craziest of the bunch, Darren?
It's got to be the helmet thing. That was just such a weird saga, the way it was laid out. And like you said, every other NFL player has acquiesced to the new rules.
Yeah. I think I'm probably going to go Hollywood Hogan mustache if I had to pick out of the
I think it's not the craziest, but it's the biggest red flag.
Right. That one works for me. Another thing that's been going on. Me and Dez went to lunch today. And
how was that? Where'd you go?
We went to a fast food restaurant. We were in the drive-thru.
Yeah, we don't need
to. We had a past discussion before, though, and Dez thought it was strange when I said that there was a common critique that someone had for me that I am too friendly. This is in someone else's
words. I've given you this critique.
I am too friendly in drive-thrus.
I have given you this critique.
This is you.
Wait, hold on. I'll take this from here, Josh. Darren, have you been in the car with Josh before in a drive-thru?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been more to elaborate, I've got a larger sample size than that. I have been on the phone with Josh as he goes through the drive-thru.
Okay.
And given him this exact criticism.
Well, okay, so today we hit the drive-thru, right? Just had a great conference call. We're ready to get going for the show. We're like, we're going to eat go to the drive-thru and bring it back. We get to the drive-thru and a lovely female voice comes through the speaker, right? Your boy, Josh Graham. See, I asked him as we pulled away.
Did he ask what her name was?
No. I think she offered that. I think she offered the
name. You have
done
that.
Thing.
And you've absolutely done that.
She said her name was Sarah.
Yeah. And, okay. And from that point on.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
No, but his voice went deeper. His voice went a little deeper. And like he started throwing some lines in there. And I'm sitting in the passenger seat just kind of.
Throwing some lines.
You were.
I was not throwing any lines.
They were so subtle. They were like. She would repeat the order.
Okay,
and then
I'm gonna
he would
out
say
the
something
place.
Like,
I know exactly what I said. I said I want a Big Zach snack. So I was an exact base, and I said, "Hey, just can you throw in an extra sauce? I know the sauce costs extra."
Oh, no,
the
you better say it the way you said it.
I know the sauce costs extra, so I said. Hey, can you throw in an extra sauce and it could be just our little secret? Please just put it in there.
No. Wait a minute. You gotta
That's
say
what
that.
I said.
You gotta say, he didn't say it that way. Darren, he was like this. Hold on, I gotta get into it. He was like,
I'm so naked right now.
he said his order and he's like, and if you could,
oh my God,
throw one of those extra Zaxby sauces in there for me. And then he said something else, and the girl was like, okay. And
are you allowed to do that, Sarah? Could you do that for me, Sarah?
That's exactly what
That's
he did.
That's not true.
At that point, I looked over at him like,
not true
hold on a minute.
Now.
So the order keeps going on.
Like, I have no shame with what I said, and that's you're just completely
exactly
misrepresenting.
I think there's
it.
A larger point here. All right, my larger point to make is because I am the one who specifically critiques you in this way, Josh.
Sure.
I and this is just me. I am polite to the degree to which I need to be polite. But I'm not going to go out of my way to add to the politeness
they
or add
serving.
To the conversation.
They are
it's very,
serving
very,
your food.
This was not.
It's
this was
very,
not
very transactional.
This was not polite.
It was polite
to me.
If this was a guy on the other side of that,
I 100% would have done that.
You would not have lowered your voice.
I
100%
I would have done that. I have and I will.
Wait, okay,
like
so,
I'm never short or mean to a drive-through worker. Or anyone. This goes for, you know, a cashier at a grocery store or anything like that. I'm never short or mean or whatever, but I just all it needs to be is a very quick, very polite thing. Nothing extra. And I just find that you often go a little bit extra with it.
Nah, there were pheromones in the air.
There like, were no pheromones.
You could feel the.
I don't quite know that the gender of the drive-thru worker
does not
matters.
Well, matter the, at all.
Because this is a thing with Josh, regardless.
100%. If it was a guy, I'd talk the same exact way.
Well, that was the beauty
it's
of
2019.
Because I asked him as we pulled away from the speaker, I was like, "Did you just flirt with that girl at the thing?" And he's like, "No. What are you talking about? I'm nice to her. She's handling our food, Dez." And I'm
That's
like,
"Right."
No, your tone sounded like you were talking to her like, yo, we'll finish this at the drive-thru window.
Not.
We pull up to the drive-thru window, and Adam comes to the window, and we're like, oh, wait. Like, it kind of jarred us.
I thought we were getting Sarah.
Yeah, we're like, oh, no, wait a minute. I wanted an ending to this. And yeah. But yeah, you were. It's all right, man. You had your game out on display today. It was all right.
There was no game. I was just being friendly to someone. I did that one time, and I got a free cookie.
Did you get a free Zaxby sauce, though?
I did. They didn't charge me for the Zaxby sauce. Why? Because I was playing it cool, friend.
There you go.
Handling your food.
Des, we're going to leave it there. Anecdotally, I'll leave it here. Anecdotally.
Whoa.
I think someone could take, Des, your point and twist it in the way that I think you're trying to get people to twist it. Because I know Josh, and I've seen multiple examples of this, I doubt he was flirting.
Not at all.
I'm not convinced.
I am 100%. See, Des, you haven't spent enough time around me when it comes to women. When it comes to women, to know what my game
you know.
Like. When I am flirting, when I'm trying to do the woo-woo-woo deal,
it's more than
last night he sang Disney at karaoke. He knows.
I may have sang karaoke last night, friend.
I love it.
Just saying. Just throwing that out there. All right, we got movie lines to do. Keep sending those in at Sports Hub Triad. In addition to that, what is the appropriate level of friendliness to show someone handling your food in a drive-thru line? At Sports Hub Triad, I'm speaking very low, so I'm not flirting with you, listeners.
That wasn't the tone.
Just letting you know.
That's the mistake Des made.
All right, yeah, Des, keep it in your pants over there. Joe Weil.
Wait, what?
Voice of the Dash. You can listen to Dash Baseball 7 o'clock Thursdays right here on the Sports Hub. We throw movie lines at him next.
Okay, here we go.
This is the Sports Hub
at AM 600, AM 920.
Now back to the drive with Josh Graham.
Joe Weil with us now, the voice of the Winston-Salem Dash. We're also sharing with Darren Vaught. Continue to send in those movie lines at Sports Hub Triad. A lot of good ones this week. But we actually have an update on this entire drive-thru situation. Me going to Zaxby's with Desmond, him claiming I was flirting with the drive-thru lady. What do you have for me?
So Jeff from Kernersville, shout out to Jeff from Kernersville, one of our loyal listeners. He couldn't stay on the line, but he wanted to chime in that he is very familiar with Sarah's voice at Zaxby's. He was there yesterday, and her voice actually made him actually be nice to her through the speaker as well. He left the phone call and said, oh, Josh was definitely flirting with Sarah, and then he had to go, so he was late. But
Joe, what is the appropriate level of friendliness in a drive-thru line when you're ordering food?
Wait, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Joe. What's the appropriate level of friendliness if you're in a drive-thru line here if you're asking for food or you're ordering food?
Oh, that's, you know, it's funny. I heard part of that, and then you guys put me on. But I feel like you just say, like, can I have this? Thank you. You know, maybe if there's like a joke that's out there, you can make it, but then you should be on your way. So wait, so what? I got want to hear the story again. What did you do, Josh?
Oh, all I did was ask for an extra sauce, but did so in a way where I was saying, hey, give me this extra sauce. I knew it asked, it cost extra, but I said, hey, just do this. It'll be our little secret, okay? It'll be our little secret. That's what I said. And guess what? I didn't get charged for the sauce.
Why won't you say it in the tone that you said it in?
I didn't get charged with the sauce. Okay, do you want me to do it in the exact tone?
Yes, I want you to get in the character.
Like, right. I'm just going to order the food the exact way hours ago.
We were in mid-conversation.
Hey, I'm going to have a Big Zach snack. Give me some Dr. Pepper to drink, light ice, and include an extra Zach sauce in there. It'll be just between us.
That ain't it.
That's exactly what I said.
That's what you said.
Did you give a wink? Did you wink, too?
What good would winking do when I'm at the drive-thru?
Well, maybe you got the window at that point, or they could see you.
Or just say wink out loud.
That's wink, wink.
But wink parentheses around it.
Also, Joe, I'm going to be self-indulgent for a second, even more self-indulgent. How should I feel as an Orioles fan losing 16 consecutive games to the New York Yankees?
I feel bad. It's gotten to a point where, the Gary Thorne broadcasting is exceptional. I love Gary Thorne, and I think what he has been doing on the mic is just, I appreciate it, because he could try to spin it one way or the other, and he just kind of goes full throttle with how disastrous it's been for the Orioles. But, hey, Josh, listen, I'm a Nets fan. We had no first-round picks for what seemed like a whole decade, and now we got Kevin Durant, we got Kyrie Irving. There's hope for you in the future. I can now be the person that can be the one to preach hope to people that don't feel it right now.
Here are some of the movie calls from last week. Joe Weil did an excellent job working them into the Winston-Salem Dash broadcast, like you can hear later tonight at 7 o'clock. Give me the first of his calls.
But it was a runner on first, nobody out situation. Then Andrew Vaughn lined it to the third baseman, Blago, who doubled off Cruz at first base. The 0-1 swung on and foul tipped, counted nothing and two, but Cruz was bouncing off of first base after the pitch, and the Pelicans essentially put the bunny back in the box by recording that double play.
That's well done. God, Joe, that's so good.
David Jackson, the voice of the Appalachian State Mountaineers, the former voice of the Mountaineers, was very impressed by that one when we played it on Friday. Next call.
A pressure situation for Cade McClure here in the bottom of the first inning. The Dash get their first lead of the series at the top of the first inning. But now the Pelicans are threatening. But Cade McClure responds well to tough situations. You can envision him saying, I love pressure. I eat it for breakfast. And now he looks to get out of the bottom of the first inning.
That was you, Darren.
But, Joe, the way you just go right back into the flow of it after these is maybe the best part. Just like, it's, two away.
Well, you know, I've found that the humor of the lines is really telling it to the point as if you're listening in the car and it just sounds normal, and then I get back to the gameplay, and then the listener is just kind of thinking to themselves, what did I just hear? Did I just hear that? You know, it's like it's like the, you know, if you've ever seen Fight Club, how they show this scene where Brad Pitt's character cuts up the movie clip to have like, yes, one, you know, one not so family friendly clip within a family friendly movie. That's what I kind of want to get away with on these broadcasts. So I found that that is what works best if you just kind of weave it in like that. But I appreciate you guys enjoying it.
Last call from Joe.
Still a ton of fans here tonight all around the lower bowl and hanging out in their seats or heading off to the Clark and Addison Grill or some of the other great places you can eat here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at ticketreturn.com field. The 2-1. Outside, count it 3-1. A couple of days ago, I had a chance to eat a burger from this facility, and that is a tasty burger. The 3-1.
I love that one. So
I bet half the people listening didn't even realize that was a bit.
It's incredible. That's the beauty of it, and that's why Joe's the best. On Twitter at Joe_Weil, I'm going to throw the first movie line at you here. Actually, Darren, tell me which of these are better. I watched The Town multiple times the last few days.
Nice.
Tell me which one you like better. I can tell you what it is. Oh, wait. I can't tell you what it is. You never ask me about it. And we're going to hurt some people. That's one. Also, same scene. Guy gets hammered in the legs.
Yep.
And he responds, there goes college soccer.
There goes college soccer,
yeah,
for sure.
I like
you're
that
using
one.
That one, Joe.
That is
it's my favorite line of the movie.
It's funny that I can't tell you what it is. The best part of that is Jeremy Renner's line right after that, which was?
I don't remember the line. What is it?
Whose car are we taking?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, the first line. Of course. I thought you meant after. There goes college soccer.
Yeah, no, I was
I
like, what comes after that? Sorry, yeah.
I mean, there's another one. I don't know if we could do All You Care About Is Coke and Xbox. But maybe for a later week. Darren, what do you got for Joe?
All right, I got a deep cut this week, guys, and it's actually from a television series rather than a movie, so I'm somewhat breaking the rules, but we've done so before.
Yes.
I recently dove back into True Detective, not the good one, not McConaughey, Woody Harrelson,
oh,
season
no.
two, because
oh,
I
no.
just, I'm trying to convince myself that there's some merit there.
Oh, no.
I love this line from Vince Vaughn's character, Frank. Never do anything out of hunger. Not even eating.
Wow.
Very profound.
That's terrific. Never do anything out of hunger. Not even eating. All right, let's go to the Twitter. You let me know which one is the best here, Darren. I'm going to read you a couple. Brent says in from Days of Thunder, I want you to go out there and hit the pace car. We also have, which, good luck trying to figure out how to get that one in. As good as it gets, sell crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here.
Ooh.
And we also have, from Grumpier Old Men, if my dog was as ugly as you, I'd shave his butt and teach him how to walk backwards.
What in the world?
Which do you like, Darren?
I love Days of Thunder, but that's virtually an impossible line to get in.
Okay.
I love Grumpy Old Men, but I think the As Good As It Gets line is what we should do. What is it? Sell crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here, right?
Bingo. So sell crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here. The never do anything out of hunger, not even eat, from Vince Vaughn. And there goes college soccer. Those are your lines this week, Joe.
It's like they get harder every week.
No, these are actually pretty easy.
There goes college soccer, yeah, I guess. But
all these are pretty easy. Like, we could have made it a lot difficult. Now, Joe makes it look easy, which is the point of the fact. Joe, you all set?
I'm all set, guys.
Have a good call tonight. Thanks for doing
that. I appreciate the time.
All right, that's Joe Weil. Voice of the Dash, 7 o'clock broadcast tonight. And that's also it for Darren Vaught right now, too. Darren, always good when you're hanging out with us, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. I'll see you later.
On Twitter, at Darren Vaught, we share with Darren once per week. Coming up, the man said it. He's not a businessman. He's a businessman. We'll try to handle our business, damn, next.